surprising.
Alright, we're going. We were chatting. Rex was surprised that a Framboise beat out all these other beers. Mm-hmm. And that's just testament that how
amazing this Framboise was.
Fucking amazing.
Just, Framboise was. Just a
McKellen.
An amazing beer. A beer that. And I'll be honest, I think that flight has something to do with it because we had a whole bunch of different. A bunch of different dimensions of beer, and then we ended with this thing that was just sort of like nailing on the head the all the right notes that was still
Do you really think Flight had something?
Yeah, because
do you think of driving a different order, you'd rank them in a different order.
I might, and the reason why I think that is because you know it had the nice sort of aperitif ending to it with the fruitiness, but it also had this the same follow through of a little bit of the funkiness that was coming through, and some of the earthiness qualities. So it just fit so well into the end.
I don't know order would have changed my ranking at all.
I don't know whether it would have changed my ranking at all either, but it certainly it helped. I don't know. I mean, I think we chose the right order for tasting them.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
In many cases, you would argue that that lightest to darkest was the best way to go about it. But I really have to say that the Framboise stands alone. At the end of the day, it's a beer that can sit down with you and discuss the intricacies of Jean-Paul Sartre, and yet also talk to you about the full catalog of the Sex Pistols.
There you go.
What he's saying is it's complex and also has a little bit of funk to it.
That's right.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm sad that it's gone. But such is the nature of beer and life. It is ethereal.
That's warm. I am...
You're that drunk?
I am in a space where I would love to drink
more. The only answer to that question is yes, most certainly.
I'm in a space where I'd love to drink more of that, but... I will give it up to you guys. I'll just smell the empty glass.
Wow. So, funny thing happened this week in entertainment. A bunch of things. First of all, Arrested Development was released, a new season. On
Netflix.
On Netflix. I watched
all
it.
All at once.
Yeah, I watched it. I was never a person who thought Arrested Development was the best show ever made. But I did think it was funny. It's a lot like 30 Rock to me in that I don't think it's the best thing ever made, but I really enjoy it.
Right.
I enjoyed very much what they did with Arrested Development. I think they could have cut it from 15 episodes down to about 7 or 8. There were some editing issues. They could have made it a tighter. But it was funny.
Well, it's Netflix's second show.
Yeah, but I, you know, and there were reasons why they couldn't have everybody together like the old show was because of people's contracts and things like that, and they had to do when people were available. It also got better as it went along because the Arrested Development style is, you know, you sort of, things don't really make sense until about midway through when everything starts to converge. So it was a really good way to start the week. And then there was the rumor that was then confirmed that on what is probably my favorite show, or was, might now be again. We've talked about Community, how much I love Community on this show before, and how the fourth season just was not the same because Dan Harmon was fired. Dan Harmon, the creator of the show and the executive producer and showrunner, was fired at the end of season 3. And now he's coming back. They rehired him for season 5. Should be very interesting. And the reason why, ultimately, is because the cast did not like the scripts they were getting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Because you watch the cast who used to do awesome material doing these hack job scripts, and you're like, really?
Yeah.
They do this? You know, right? It pays the bills. You got to do it, right?
Yeah, but they have to. Yeah,
but you know, it was nice. I mean, it's kind of vindictive and amazing that
this has never happened before in the history of television that a showrunner. I mean, there's been showrunners who've left for amicable reasons come back, but not one who's been fired and then comes back. has never happened before. This is unprecedented. So it shows sort of where Sony's at. Sony got the fifth season. Sony got to their about 97 episodes, which is right near 100, which is for syndication. Everyone's making money. So all they're concerned with is being able to sell the show better. And since it's not making Big Bang Theory numbers, they can sell it either on its rating power or its quality. So they're trying to sell on its quality. And bringing the guy back who is difficult to work with, absolutely, but makes a better show work. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Kind of sad news if you are a Doctor Who fan. Matt Smith is leaving the show. Jeff has no idea what we're talking about. Matt Smith is the latest incarnation of the Doctor. Okay. I thought he was amazing. I thought he was the best of the new, considerably. He acted the hell out of it, and I'm going to be sad to see him go. But the whole thing about Doctor Who is it changes. There are always new doctors coming along. So we'll see what comes next. So it's been a bittersweet, but and yet very fun and interesting week all around.
I'm sorry. Rex's Indie Pal Cider early on wrecked me. I need to go get some fresh air.
Alright, you want to pause?
You guys can finish the post show. I think I'm gonna have to bow out.
We can wrap the post show with some ghost chili laced mesquite amber ale.
Yeah.
I can.
Drink some water.
We can drink that off the air. You guys can drink that off the air.
Drink water. Drink your water.
No. I'm done, Greg. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry the post show is only 6 minutes, 7 minutes long. You guys can wrap it or we can wrap it now. But I gotta go.
All right. You leave and I'll stop it.
All right. I mean, I might come back down. I need some.
Yeah, I want to try some of this ghost pepper thing. So let's. Can you pause it?
Yeah, I can pause it.
Yeah. I want to ask.
Recording.
All right. This good is some times. Of the ghost pepper,
such as it is. I'll say
mesquite smoked ghost pepper
laced amber ale.
I don't have too much of it.
I don't want to take too much of it, as I've had plenty of it myself.
Well, I'm on the cusp, so I don't want to go overboard. Okay, so. How you feel, Jeff?
How do I feel? Now that I'm in fresh air, I feel better. I'm not, like, fall down drunk. I'm definitely at the place where I'm not going to taste any Rex's beer, even though I wish I could.
How about you snort some of my beer? Because.
Now, ghost peppers are the hottest peppers known right now, right? They're highest in the Scoville ranking.
They're very close to it. Okay. Seems like every year there's an arms race for the hottest pepper there is.
It also seems like ghost peppers, depending on where you get them, are very variable, like by like 100% or at least 80%. Like you can
all
get
peppers are like that, though. I think all peppers are like that. All peppers go through a. There are some that are the smaller the pepper in general, the hotter they are, and the larger, the less hot they are. But then you'll get that one that's just. Yeah.
I mean, I've had ghost peppers where they're not crazy hot, but they do have a very distinct flavor that is, like, worth seeking out a ghost pepper. And I think Rex had captured some of that in this beer.
Wow. Yeah, there's definitely a, whoa, a continually strong pepper flavor. Okay. How do you define that fruitiness? It's a little bit like copper. There's
copper fruit.
There's a cucumber-ness to it.
Oh yeah, there's a good spice to that. I just took a sip.
It's been a couple months for you, I know.
The nose hides the pepperiness. The nose tastes like smells like mesquite.
but you take a sip and boom, it burns you up.
And you're saying, Greg, you're saying copper metal, what the heck? Mm-hmm. Copper is also present in green leafy vegetables. So think some cabbage, think some cilantro. Think along those lines. I think you'll find some similar flavors. Maybe it's a little radish.
Radish is there, yeah.
But the burn. You're not mentioning the burn.
No, I'm not mentioning the burn because I'm trying to get the flavor as opposed to just the burn. I mean, the burn is obvious. The burn is capsaicin. But I want to get the flavor of the pepper. And it's a little bit like a strongly accentuated green bell pepper that has some extra cucumbery notes to it.
It's nice. It's still really hot. It's lots of smoke. This is another one of those Rex insane beers that Rex likes to make.
So we had one of our listeners, and I forget exactly who because I don't have it in front of me, but mentioned that Lou Bryson had written an article about sort of what we were talking about.
That was Nate.
That was Nate. Yeah. He wrote an article about what we were talking about, only he wrote it 5 years ago.
about the not enough women or black people in craft beer.
Now, women, that has changed, I think.
Yeah.
But other people than white people, that hasn't changed yet.
I was reading Lou's article. And it was a lot on point, but it felt a little aged, right? And once I got to the end, and I read through a bunch of comments, and like Stephen Beaumont, who's another really big craft beer writer, was commenting a lot with Lou, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, finally I realized it was written in 2008. And I'm like, yeah, I agree completely with everything said from 2008. And I'd be curious to see, you know, how today is, because I think women have caught up, but I don't think minorities have caught up to craft beer.
Thoughts, Rex? Anything?
Well, obviously not coming from the commercial sector. I do work with a number of very spirited beer individuals. A highly engaged slice of my colleagues. And I'll say that the gender versus racial makeup is reasonably mixed, and I'm happy to see that changing. I wouldn't have probably said that 5 years ago, but I am entertained and encouraged by what I'm seeing coming forward.
Cultural changes take a while, and broad things like what we want will continue to take a while. So we can only hope that it's always going to be gradual. It's not going to be instant. If it is instant, then it's a flash in the pan. If it's not instant and it's slow, then it's something real. Right. I think that...
I mean, from reading the Lou article, you know, like the takeaway, I mean, to really, really distill it down, and please forgive me for distilling it down so bluntly, is it was, you know, craft beer people are affluent white people with beards. And black people like cognac, and I'm curious why. I'm curious, like, where did that gap manifest itself, and how do you overcome it? Right.
You could say the same thing about why is it that there are a lot more white atheists than there are black atheists. To go back to what we were talking about in the pre-show, there's some cultural reason that gets to the bottom of something significant. But I think it is cultural, because I don't think there's a difference between black people and white people other than, you know, a very basal outside look. But you and I have different noses and different faces also, so who cares about our skin color? We're all the same species. It's a cultural thing. There's a cultural bias towards these things. So why is there a cultural bias in majority white culture towards beer, and a cultural bias towards stronger spirits like cognac in black culture? I don't know.
I do have to say that based on probably, and again, this is a very, very thin slice of the culture, but according to maybe the last 5 to 6 year slice of engagement that I've seen amongst friends, colleagues, countrymen, that I have seen a much, much more encouraging mix of both gender and racially based engagement in really interesting beer. And I would love to see that continue on.
Yeah, I think it will continue on. It's just, is there a diversity problem in craft beer? You go to a beer fest. Maybe the beer fest is part of the problem. Like, maybe that's not the environment where minorities go. But you go to a beer fest, the one thing we have noticed changing over the last 5 years is there's a lot more women drinking beer. There's not a lot more black people drinking beer at these beer fests. And that's spawned this whole conversation between Greg and I. And then we found the Lou Bryson thing. And the Lou Bryson thing affirmed everything we said, but it was written in 2008, right? So that was the... And he was saying there was also not enough women, which I think has changed in the last 5 years. So we're just trying to, like, talk it through and figure out, like, diversity problem, yes, no. What does that mean? How do you overcome it? You know, what does it mean to overcome it?
Well, the answer is yes, there is a diversity problem. The question of how to overcome it is a much different problem and a harder problem, because there you're talking about an entire, you know, adjusting a culture, and like I said, not in a flash in the pan style. Like the micro beer thing in the 90s was a flash in the pan thing. It happened and died out quickly. The craft beer industry now is a cultural thing, and it's taken a while to get a hold, but then it really has grabbed a hold. These cultural movements, you have your flash in the pan YouTube shit, you have your Harlem Shake, which goes there for 2 weeks and then no one ever talks about it again, your Gangnam Style, and then you have your things which continually build upon each other and stuff. So
what was it? I saw some pretty big... No, the levels are okay.
I just worry about it. I'm sorry, because we're not monitoring, so if there's noise from the wind, sorry.
Oh, sure, screw it. I saw some tweet, they're talking about the Harlem Shake, but they put the harem shake. Yeah, I'm like, that's completely different.
That's quite a shake.
That might go good with waffles.
Wait, harems and waffles? I'm missing that one.
My parents recently went to on a big Eastern European trip, and they came back telling me all about the stuff that went on, but also about some of the beers they had, because I know I'd be interested. And they were surprised when I told them all the beers they seemed to like were lagers. They did not realize that these, you know, because they're like, oh, I want dark beers, and dark beers are ales. And I was like, no, you're drinking a lot of Dunkel lagers. That's why I came to you with the idea of, let's do a Dunkel. It's
so where did they go?
They went to Hungary, and they went to Poland, and they went to Germany.
Okay.
So... yeah, they got a fill.
So just barely Eastern Europe, not really Eastern Europe.
Poland's kind of East, you know. Yeah, it's pretty Eastern.
I was thinking like Kazakhstan.
No, Kazakhstan's all the way over. That's near China.
Yeah. You're right.
That's not Europe. That's Asia.
I think like Bulgaria and things like that.
No, they're still quite attached to their Jewish heritage, and so they. They wanted to go to places that have Jewish subcultures and have that and or were, you know, affected by the Holocaust. They were very affected by that, and you know, because they grew up like sort of right after all that happened, and so it's part of their worldview. And they sort of wanted to see those places and also get in touch with the Jewish communities there. Right. Not my thing. I'm not religious and don't identify myself as Jewish anymore, but I did grow up that way, so what are you going to do? But they know that I'm interested in beers, so they had a couple beers. Actually, one of the reasons I went out to VE was also to see if I could find any of the beers that they had.
Okay.
I could not. I thought I might be able to, but I could not.
Did they send you like photos of the beers they had or anything?
They sent me the names of the beers, and you know, I could find them on Beer Advocate, so I could, you know.
I guess they were all national or local?
There were one or two that were impossible to find because they were either from like a very local brewery, or they just just were not important. But there were a couple that were that are probably findable if you're in the right place. So that's why I thought, well, VE is going to be one of the best places in the world to find that thing, so why not? And that's sort of one of the reasons I started to look into more of the European beers as opposed to American, and why I went for the McKellar, and good thing I did.
Solid choice. Solid choice.
Freaking amazing.
Let's see, what else do I got here? Sorry, there's no light, so let me check for a second on my list. What do I get into that? I don't know. Okay. It's probably not the right day to get into that.
Yeah, drinking my ghost chili ale following on the McKellar almost seems like a cardinal sin, because we've had dessert already. And it was a wonderful dessert.
Yeah.
Not
this
oversweet.
Is, this is, you know, 12, 1 o'clock. You can't sleep, and you go in there and you get some chocolate out of the fridge.
Right.
It doesn't taste hollow after all the beers we had tonight. And that was really a concern. Like, I'm like, I didn't mention the Grey. Let's pull Rex's beer into this show, because the show was full of all stars. And I was worried that, you know, your beer might seem hollow or whatnot. But, you know, happily here not drinking more beer so I can not throw up later tonight. And but it, you know, it still had a good flavor and great spice, so it could have made it on the show and stood up. I'm not sure where it would have ranked or anything. I'm not even gonna work through that exercise because it's too difficult.
Don't bother. Question about the microphones that we're using, because I listened to the last produced show that we had. And believe it or not,
on the microphones.
I guess we're going to go somewhere else. Let's walk on the. No, just walk and talk.
So I listened to the last produced show. I mean, the show we did before the Vertical Epic was a little bit different, but the one with Nick, there was a little bit of static that I noticed at certain points, a little bit of coming in, and I wonder if, you know, we thought that was the mixer. We got a new mixer. I won, and it's better now with the new mixer. But right. I wonder if some of that might have to do with microphones.
It could be. Have you noticed it with any shows where the third mic's not been turned on?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So Max's bedroom's right up there, and the windows might be open. So let's just keep it down. Also over here. I mean, it'll be plenty loud for the. Mm-hmm. For the recording, we just stepped away from the neighbor's air conditioner. One of the other common way between two houses. I guess we're gonna try to figure it out. Was it constant or was
it
occasional?
No, it was. It happened for a couple seconds and it was gone.
And it was the same kind of thing we were having before with the old mixer?
It wasn't quite the same, because the old mixer, it was sort of cut out, and there was like wouldn't be able to hear ourselves, but here it was more, it was clearly something that we didn't hear on the headphones. It was just sort of an added sort of little static shh.
Well, that's really weird. If we didn't hear it on the headphones.
There's a fire.
That's the first firefly of the season. We'll have to try to figure it out. I mean, if we didn't hear it on the headphones, that's really unfortunate, because we want the headphones as close to the recorder as possible, right? I don't know. I'm a little... Not the time to think about that kind of thing.
So while we're looking at the sky, I can see the Big Dipper just basically right in front of us, and so there's Polaris right there. So there's North, boom, right by where Jeff is.
Right where North should be.
There's a little bit of lightning in the air, so there's colloquially called heat lightning, but it's actually just lightning far off in the distance that we can see, because it's dark, and that's what happens. And it's a beautiful night. It's about, I would say, probably slightly above room temperature right now. Probably about 73, 74.
Nice breeze, yeah. You want to wrap this up, or
there's the stuff that I would have to talk about would take a long time, and you don't seem ready for it.
I'm not ready for it. I'm not analytical right now. I'm just working on standing up.
we'll save it for later, and we hope you enjoy 251 and everything that goes with it. I certainly did. Jeff did. He's just in
amazing.
Rex, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to share these beers with you.
Happy, cheers. Happy to share them with all of you.